The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 41. You stole the drawings. What's the matter? Nina and Bernice turned around to look askance at Annabelle. They were trying their best to avoid showing their dissatisfaction with her. Let's talk about this now, Annabelle said, waving the blank sheets she had found in her folder. Seeing the sheets in Annabelle's hand, Nina felt guilty. What do you mean? With the sheets in her hand, Annabelle walked up to Rupert and handed them to him. The drawings I kept in the folder turned into blank sheets. Mr. Benton, don't you think there's something strange going on? Rupert took the blank sheets and put them on the conference table. His slender fingers tapped the table impatiently as he stared at the sheets. Obviously, someone had stolen the drawings and replaced them with these sheets. There were not many people who had access to the drawings, and Annabelle had always been cautious in her work, so he knew she would not let such important documents be handled by just anyone. There were only two possibilities. One was that someone had replaced the drawings and set Annabelle up to make her look like a fool during the meeting. If this was the case, Rupert wouldn't let this person go scot-free. Another possibility was that Annabelle had switched the drawings herself, but why would she do that? Clearly, the case was beginning to get more and more interesting. Finally, Rupert said, "I'll ask Finley to find out the truth." "Yes, sir," Finley said respectfully. Annabelle explained, "Before I went to the airport, I checked the file. The drawings were there, intact. After I returned from the airport, I brought the file to the conference room. But like we all saw, the drawings turned into blank sheets of paper. That means, someone must have replaced them while I was at the airport." "Annabelle, you lost the drawings and you're now trying to frame others. That's all," Nina retorted. Now that Rupert said he was going to intervene in the investigation, she was highly flustered. She knew very well how cruel Rupert could be. If he found out that she was the one who had stolen the drawings, the consequences would be dire. A shiver ran down Nina's spine as she thought of what Rupert could possibly do to her. "What? You think I lost the drawings?" Annabelle sneered. "Then why would I replace them with blank sheets? Do you think everyone is as stupid as you?" "What do you mean?" Nina demanded with a glare, pretending to be calm and not bothered. She comforted herself with the belief that what she did had been done secretly, so Annabelle would not know anything about it. "If you don't want people to know it, the best way is not to do it," Annabelle said. Nina's heart trembled in fear. She stole a quick glance at Rupert, who was silent. Seeing his face so expressionless and his eyes so sharp, Nina quickly looked away. I don't know what you're talking about," Nina stuttered. "By the way, I have something else one need to do. This meeting is over, Annabelle. I don't have any more time to waste talking with you." With that, Nina got up to leave. "Stop!" Annabelle shouted, her tone cold and harsh. "Nina, why are you in such a hurry? Do you have a guilty conscience?"
"Guilty conscience?
Why would I feel guilty?" Nina scoffed. "Because you asked someone to steal the drawings," Annabelle said, hitting the nail on the head. Nina's expression changed a bit, but she said defiantly, "Annabelle, don't cast malicious accusations against me. Do you know what slander means?"
"Slander?"
Annabelle chuckled. She was not surprised at all. She knew that Nina would not easily admit to it. But even if Nina denied it, it was only a waste of time. Annabelle had already prepared for every scenario and she would expose Nina. "I have evidence to prove that you're the initiator of this evil," Annabelle said confidently. Rupert suddenly got up. He stood tall and straight, with a cold expression and his lips drawn into a thin line. He glanced at Annabelle and said in an indifferent tone, "Since you said you have evidence, go ahead and present it." Then he turned to Nina and Bernice, and ordered, "Come back and sit down." Nina had no choice but to go back to the conference table and sit down. She was very nervous. Did Annabelle really have evidence against her? But that could not be possible. Everything she did was secret and flawless. Annabelle could not have found any evidence.
Do you have any evidence to prove that I stole the drawings?
Annabelle, I'm warning you. Slander is a very serious offense.
Nina took a deep breath.
I know you don't like to obey me, but you can't frame me.
Funny, Annabelle scoffed.
Mr. Benton is here. So, why are you anxious?
If you didn't do it, I believe Mr. Benton won't do anything to you. But I'm sure he won't let anyone get away with hurting the company's interests.
Then she looked at Rupert and asked, Mr. Benton, am I right?
Rupert raised his eyebrows and nodded slightly.
As far as he could see, it seemed Annabelle had some evidence. His fiancée was getting more and more interesting.
Rupert had asked Finley to investigate the matter, but now, it looked as if it would no longer be necessary. He would simply let Annabelle handle the matter.
But there was one strange question nagging at his mind.
Why did Nina do such a thing?
Though Nina was a little arrogant and domineering sometimes, she always did her work well.
Why did she do such a thing that would damage the company's interests just to frame Annabelle?
What was more, she was the director of the secretarial department.
If something bad was attributed to Annabelle, Nina would be seen as a poor supervisor and it would do her career no good.
Seeing that Rupert had no objection to her move, Annabelle cleared her throat and said, "Let's get to the point. Now that I've narrowed down the time frame when the drawings must have been stolen, I just need to check the surveillance footage during that time frame to know who did it."
But Nina quickly screamed, "But the surveillance camera is broken, isn't it?"
"Oh, is it?
It seems you pay much attention to such trifles," Annabelle sneered.
Truly, the surveillance camera set in Annabelle's office happened to be broken the previous day.
Of course, she knew why the surveillance camera was broken.
Nina didn't want to leave any evidence that would show how she stole the drawings.
Realizing that she had made a slip of tongue, Nina quickly tried to explain, "I don't know anything about it. I only heard it from others."
"But did you also hear that the surveillance camera has been repaired?"
Annabelle asked with a smile.
She had secretly asked someone to fix the surveillance camera, so that Nina would walk into the trap unawares.
"Really?"
Nina asked in surprise, her voice trembling slightly.
She had damaged the camera the previous day. How could it have been repaired so quickly?
Rupert narrowed his sharp eyes and ordered Finley, "Go and get the surveillance footage."
Chapter 42 The Truth.
"Yes, sir."
Finley nodded and left.
Soon after, he came back with a copy of the surveillance footage of the period during which Annabelle was at the airport.
"Mr. Benton, I've gotten it," Finley said, handing the U-disc to Rupert.
Rupert took it, leaned back on his chair and narrowed his eyes.
What could be in the surveillance footage?
After turning it in his hand for a while, he dropped the U-disc on the table and said indifferently, "Play it."
"Yes, sir," Finley said and quickly went on to turn on the computer and projector.
Then he inserted the U-disc and played it.
Nina wiped the cold sweat off her forehead and kept trying to comfort herself.
Even though they had gotten the surveillance footage, so what?
She didn't replace the drawings by herself. She made the perfect arrangement and Annabelle would not be able to link anything to her.
The surveillance footage started with Annabelle sorting out her folders. She took out the drawings from a folder and carefully checked them. It could be seen clearly that Annabelle was holding the drawings, not blank sheets of paper.
After checking them, Annabelle put the drawings back into the folder and put the folder in the drawer.
Then she stood up and left for the airport.
No one got close to Annabelle's desk until noon, which was time for lunch. All the staff in the building went to the cafeteria and there was no one in the offices.
Just then, a middle-aged woman in a cleaner's uniform walked into Annabelle's office with her cleaning materials in her hands. She tiptoed to Annabelle's desk and looked around to see if there was anyone.
When she saw that there was no one, she opened the drawer, took out the drawings from the folder and put a few blank sheets in it.
"It seems the cleaner was the one who did it," Nina said, relieved.
Now that they checked the surveillance footage and saw who did it, she would be able to get rid of the suspicion on her.
The cleaner had taken her money. She should be hiding in the countryside now.
Nina would see how Annabelle was going to make a fool of herself.
"Annabelle, you slandered me, claiming that I stole the drawings. Now, you've checked the surveillance footage and it turns out that it was not me,"
Nina pointed out, her pride and arrogance now back in full.
"You accused me in public. Shouldn't you apologize to me?"
"Hold on," Annabelle said, gesturing for Finley to stop the footage.
"Yes, we've all seen it. It was the cleaner, Talia, who replaced the drawings. But why did she do that? What good would it be to her?"
"You can find her and ask her about it," Nina quipped, confident of the fact that Annabelle couldn't find Talia.
With a frown, Rupert promptly gestured for Finley to set out to find Talia.
Finley quickly made a phone call. Then, he told Rupert, "Talia resigned at 1 o'clock this afternoon."
"At 1 o'clock?"
"That was after she replaced the drawings."
"She resigned as soon as she replaced the drawings, which meant that everything was premeditated. Investigate it and make sure you find her,"
Rupert ordered in an icy tone.
But Annabelle smiled and shook her head.
"Don't bother. I'll ask Talia to come here right away. Then the truth will be revealed."
"What?"
Rupert asked in surprise.
Annabelle brought out her phone and dialed a number.
Then she said into the phone, "Talia, you can come here now. Yes, the conference room on the 18th floor."
Nina began to panic. How could Annabelle rave Talia's phone number? Why would she call Talia to come here at such a moment? Could it be?
No, it was impossible.
Perhaps Annabelle was just trying to bluff.
Nina knew she could not afford to panic and lose her cool. She just had to try to calm down.
10 minutes later, the middle-aged woman in a cleaner's uniform appeared at the door of the conference room. It was none other than Talia.
"Talia, please come in."
Annabelle nodded at her, beckoning for her to step in. Talia looked a little nervous, but nevertheless, she walked in. The moment Nina saw Talia, her face turned pale. Talia had resigned and returned to the countryside.
So, why was she here now?
"Talia, did you steal the drawings in my folder and replace them with blank sheets?"
Annabelle asked calmly.
Talia nodded and said, "Yes."
"Why did you do that?"
Annabelle reased.
Talia awkward her eyes ard murmured, "Someone gave me 500,000 and asked me to replace the drawings."
"Who was it?
Is that person in this room?"
Annabelle asked.
"Yes. It's her,"
Talia said, suddenly pointing at Nina.
"She paid me to do it?"
"Don't throw false accusations at me. Did Annabelle ask you to frame me?"
"I'm sure Annabelle bribed you,"
Nina shouted in panic, trying to blame Annabelle as much as she could.
Seeing how anxious Nina was, Annabelle smiled.
Everything went smoothly according to her plan.
Days ago, when she heard Nina and Heather's call in the bathroom, she knew that the two of them were conspiring against her. She asked Anthony to secretly eavesdrop on Nina's phone and eventually, she learned that Nina's plan was to steal the drawings in an attempt to make Rupert expel Annabelle from Benton Group for dereliction of duty. Knowing that Talia's son was seriously ill and in urgent need of money, Nina planned to hire her to steal the drawings. Later, Annabelle found Talia and also contacted the doctor who had treated her as a child and asked him to help treat Talia's son. Soon, the child began to get better and better. Talia was very grateful. With tears in her eyes, she thanked Annabelle profusely and promised to do anything for her. Annabelle came up with an idea. She asked Talia to accept Nina's money, promise her that she would steal the drawings, and secretly collect evidence during the process. This was all she needed to deal with Nina. Nina wanted to set her up and force her out of the company, so she would simply do the same thing back to her.
"Talia, did I tell you to set her up?"
Annabelle asked casually.
Talia seemed to find the idea ridiculous and shook her head enthusiastically.
"No, she instructed me to steal your drawings."
"Nonsense,"
Nina shouted in denial.
"What did Annabelle bribe you with?
Why are you accusing me falsely and shamelessly?
I didn't accuse you falsely. This is the recording of the conversation we had when you gave me money to replace the drawings. As she spoke, Talia took out a recorder pen from her pocket. When Rupert saw the pen, a hint of surprise flashed across his handsome face. He had seen this recording pen in Annabelle's room before. Was it Annabelle who had given it to Talia? In other words, Annabelle had already seen through Nina's scheme. Clearly, all of Talia's actions and how she turned against Nina had been arranged by Annabelle. Chapter 43 You Are Fired. Talia held the recorder pen and pressed the switch. Immediately, the conversation between the two began to play. Talia, I've transferred $250,000 to your account. After that, I'll give you another $250,000. With this money, you can have your son treated. With the rest, you can raise him to be strong, healthy, and comfortable. The voice in the recorder was none other than Nina's. Talia's voice was a little nervous, albeit quite excited, as she asked, "So much money, what do you want me to do?" "It's very simple. You just need to replace some drawings in Annabelle's office," Nina said. "But if anyone finds out?" Talia murmured in hesitation. "Don't worry. You can go to her office and pretend to be cleaning when no one is around. No one will suspect you." Then Nina added with a chuckle, "Besides, as a cleaner, you earn $3,000 a month. How many years do you have to work to earn $500,000? After this task is completed, you can resign and go to the countryside to hide. You can find another job after this matter is forgotten. Isn't it a perfect plan?" Talia seemed convinced and said, "Okay, I agree." Nina was very glad to hear this. "That's good. I'll inform you of exactly what you're expected to do when it's time. Remember, only you and I know this matter. Don't let anyone else find out about it." "Don't worry. I won't tell anyone," Talia promised. Then the recording came to an end. Annabelle looked at Nina and sneered, "Nina, what else do you want to say now?" "No, that's not me," Nina shouted in denial, her face pale and her forehead dripping with sweat. She would never admit to it. "Everyone here has heard it. It's clearly your voice," Annabelle retorted. She turned on the computer and opened an email. "If you insist that the voice is not yours, I have other evidence." She put the email on the projector so that everyone would see the contents clearly. "This is the record of Talia's bank account. I've asked my friend to check it. The sum of money was transferred to Talia via a foreign account, and the account holder is..." Annabelle paused and looked straight at Nina. "It's your father, Bernie Jones." Nina's eyes widened in disbelief. How could Annabelle find out it was her father's account? She had been very careful. "I have human testimony and material evidence. Nina, do you still think I am falsely accusing you?" Annabelle asked. "No. It's impossible." Nina wanted to defend herself, but she couldn't say a word. The truth was clear to everyone. No matter what she said, it would be in vain. She was doomed. This time, there was no two ways about it. "Annabelle, it's you," Nina suddenly croaked, her eyes red. She jumped up and rushed at Annabelle. "You bitch. It's all a trap," you said. "Trap?" Annabelle scoffed as she grabbed Nina's hand before she could slap her. "If you didn't try to frame me in the first place, how would I have gotten any evidence? This is called shooting yourself in the foot. Nina, why did you do this?" Rupert, who had been sitting silently all along, suddenly asked. His eyes looked cold and hard, and at the sound of his voice, the room became eerily quiet. "Mr. Benton, I..." Nina stuttered helplessly. Rupert's cold eyes made her shiver involuntarily. It was as if she had fallen into an icy lake. The coldness in Rupert's eyes was like a sharp knife stabbing into her body. Without waiting for a response from her, he declared, "Nina Jones, you're fired. From this moment on, you're no longer an employee of Benton Group." "What? Fired?" Nina's face turned pale. "No, Mr. Benton, you can't fire me.
Nina shouted as if she'd lost her mind and swiftly pounced on him.
Rupert, do you realize I did all this because of you? I love you.
Don't you know that?
Since the day I came into this company, I've been in love with you.
Fuck off.
Rupert growled, pushing her away in disgust, making her lose her balance and fall on the floor.
Nina's forehead hit the corner of the table, causing blood to flow. She raised her eyes and looked at the man in front of her that was so indifferent and heartless to her.
But you never pay attention to me. No matter how hard I work and how much I've done for you, you never pay attention to me. I thought you were born to be indifferent to all women. I believed that as long as I worked hard, you would see how good I was and fall in love with me one day. But everything changed since Annabelle came.
You only paid attention to her. She's just a bumpkin from the countryside. How could she be your fiancé? How could she get your love? She never deserved it.
Annabelle is a bitch and she doesn't deserve you.
Annabelle rolled her eyes. She was just a nominal fiancé.
The girl Rupert truly loved was Candy. But she didn't expect that Nina was so much in love with Rupert.
Unfortunately for her, she had fallen in love with the wrong person and gone about it the wrong way.
Jealousy had blinded her.
For the sake of keeping Rupert for herself, she framed Annabelle and sacrificed the company's interests.
At the end, she only destroyed her own future.
Nina Jones, leave Benton Group within 10 minutes. I don't want to see you ever again.
Rupert ordered, looking down at her in disgust.
No, Rupert, listen to me. I love you.
Please don't drive me away. Please.
But before Nina could say anything more, Finley quickly pulled her on her feet and dragged her to the door.
Mr. Benton doesn't want to see you. You'd better leave right now.
Seeing Nina crying as she was sent away, Annabelle frowned slightly. She had just given the woman a dose of her own medicine.
If she had been a little careless, she would probably be the one being driven away now.
That's all for today. I don't want to hear anything like this happening again.
Rupert warned, glancing around at everyone present with his sharp eyes.
None of them dared to look into his angry eyes.
They all lowered their heads, except for Annabelle.
Rupert walked out of the conference room, but he stopped at the door. He turned around and gave Annabelle a meaningful look.
Annabelle, come to my office, he ordered.
Chapter 44. Who exactly is Annabelle?
Annabelle followed Rupert back to his office.
What's the matter?
She asked.
Rupert sat on the sofa and crossed his legs.
Then he pointed to a spot beside him.
Sit down, he ordered.
Confused, Annabelle sat next to him.
Rupert, what's the matter?
Rupert opened his thin lips slightly and said in a calm voice, you were the initiator, weren't you?
The initiator?
Was he angry?
Was he complaining about the fact that she had exposed Nina in public?
Or was he unhappy that he had to fire Nina?
Was he blaming her for it?
Annabelle looked warily at him and asked, Rupert, what do you mean?
The man turned his expressionless face and looked into her eyes. His eyes were like two whirlpools, deep and unfathomable. He nodded slightly and shifted close to her.
You already knew that Nina would replace the drawings. And you arranged for Talia to expose her crime. Everything was arranged by you, right?
Rupert already knew the answer, but he just wanted to hear it from Annabelle herself.
Annabelle must have known for long that Nina was going to frame her, so she went ahead and arranged to trap her.
Not only did Nina get exposed but also got fired from Benton Group.
At the same time, this would be a warning to Bernice, thereby killing two birds with one stone.
Everything that happened today was under Annabelle's control. Her means was accurate, ruthless, and decisive. He appreciated it so much. It was hard to imagine that a young girl from the countryside would be so smart and courageous.
Again, Rupert shifted even closer to Annabelle.
The distance between the two was virtually non-existent, making Annabelle's face turn red with embarrassment.
Why did he move so close to her?
She quickly shifted away from him and said in a serious tone, No, of course, the initiator was Nina. I didn't try to set her up, I just defended myself. She wanted to frame me. How could I sit still and wait for her to destroy me?
If she hadn't tried to frame me, these things wouldn't have happened. So, I just gave her a dose of her own medicine. I don't think I did anything wrong.
Did I say that you did something wrong? Rupert asked with a ghost of a smile on his lips.
Annabel was shocked.
Didn't Rupert bring her here to blame her?
You're free to tell me if such a thing happens again, Rupert said and moved closer to Annabel again.
Leaning sideways, he put his hands on Annabelle's sides. His lips were close to her ear as he said, I won't sit and watch my fiancé being set up.
Wrapped in the aura of this strong man, Annabelle's heart began to beat fast.
I can handle such a small matter. You don't need to bother yourself.
His closeness made her quite uncomfortable.
What was wrong with the man?
Why did he get so close to her?
Wasn't he afraid that Candy would be jealous?
So, who the hell are you?
Rupert asked, his enchanting eyes dark with curiosity.
Why do you know jewelry design?
If I'm not mistaken, the drawing software you use today was designed by Ada. What's your relationship with her?
Annabel was stunned.
What was Rupert suspecting?
Was her true identity exposed?
Annabel quickly stood up and smiled at him.
You know who I am. I'm your nominal fiancé. If there is nothing else, I'd like to go back to work.
With that, Annabel turned around and left.
Staring at her pretty figure as she walked away, Rupert was full of complex emotions.
After thinking for a while, he called Finley and ordered, do a background check on Annabel. I want every information about her.
Annabel.
Finley was a little surprised.
Wasn't Annabel the CEO's fiancé?
Why was the CEO investigating his fiancé?
It was so strange.
When he got no response from the surprised and confused Finley, Rupert shouted at him, hurry up.
Yes, sir, Finley responded with a start and jumped up to go carry out the errand.
An hour later, Finley came back with some anxiety.
Mr. Benton, I've checked it.
What's the result?
There was a hint of eagerness in Rupert's voice.
Finley handed him the information, saying, I only found this.
Rupert took the document from him and read the few words on it.
Annabel, 20 years old, lived in the suburb of Georgia.
Except for this little information, there was even no basic information about her parents or educational background.
That's all.
Rupert asked, his eyes narrowed in displeasure.
No other information.
Finley scratched his head in embarrassment and shifted from one foot to the other.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't find anything else.
Fine. You can leave now, Rupert said dismissively.
When Finley was gone, Rupert sat back and fell into deep thought.
If Finley of all people couldn't find any serious information about her, then it was clear that his fiancé was not an ordinary individual.
The only option he had left was to ask his grandfather about it.
Since Annabel was arranged for him, Bruce, he would probably know her very well.
Rupert walked out to his car and drove all the way to Bruce's house.
When he got there, he saw Bruce watering the flowers in the garden.
Rupert, aren't you supposed to be at the company by this time?
How come you have time to visit me?
Bruce asked, quite surprised to see his grandson all of a sudden.
Grandpa, I'm here to visit you. How are you feeling?
Rupert asked, taking the kettle from the old man's hand and helping him water the flowers.
I'm fine, Bruce said, looking at his grandson, who was absent-minded.
Tell me, what do you want from me?
He knew his grandson very well.
Rupert was a workaholic.
If it wasn't something very important, he wouldn't have come during working hours.
Grandpa, can you tell me who Annabel really is?
Rupert asked without preamble.
Bruce tilted his head and looked at Rupert. So, his grandson left his work only to ask about Annabel?
It seemed the young man was interested in her.
What?
You finally found out how good she is?
Bruce asked with a smile.
I'm just curious.
Rupert shrugged.
She's very different from what I thought.
You have to find it out by yourself. I can only tell you that though I'm old,
I'm still in full possession of all my faculties and I would never choose the wrong girl as my granddaughter-in-law, Bruce said, stroking his beard proudly.
All right. Seeing that his grandfather would not tell him what he wanted to know, Rupert didn't bother to ask any more. He said goodbye and left. As he walked out of the house, Rupert was upset. If there was no candy, he might accept Annabelle. After all, a beautiful, smart, confident, capable and bold girl like Annabelle was very attractive to any sane man. But his heart was filled with Candy. He had promised to marry Candy, he would not marry anyone else.
Chapter 45 Annabelle, go to die.
Rupert didn't want to admit that he was attracted to Annabelle. Her voice, face, smile, and every move appeared in Rupert's mind and lingered for a long time. It was already off-duty time when Rupert returned from Bruce's house. He called home, but Tracy told him that Annabelle hadn't come home yet. Rupert drove straight to Benton Group. It was already dark. The staff in the office were leaving work one after the other, but Annabelle was still buried in her work. She didn't seem to know it, but she was the only one left in the office. While she was staring at the computer screen and working on the report, a shadow was suddenly cast over her.
Who's that?
Annabelle asked, looking up immediately. She saw Rupert looking back at her. He was wearing a white shirt, and the sleeves were rolled up. The light shone on him, as if he was coated with a layer of gold, which made him look extraordinary and noble.
Rupert, why are you here?
Annabelle asked in surprise. Rupert smiled and said in a serious tone, I'm here to see how the Ice and Fire series is progressing. Annabelle was puzzled. Though the Lady Fashion project was a key project of the design department, the main business of Benton Group was not jewelry making. There were many more important projects than the Lady Fashion project. No matter how important the project was, the progress was usually reported to Rupert by the employees. It was late, but Rupert was here to see how it was going. Why would he come and supervise such a small project? Annabelle felt there was something he was not telling her. But since Rupert only said he had come to see how the project was going, Annabelle had to answer honestly, everything is going well. I'm checking the financial statements concerning the production of the series.
Really?
Let me have a look, Rupert said calmly.
Okay.
Annabelle shrugged, pointing at the computer screen. This is the report from the production department. I haven't finished reading it yet.
Okay, Rupert nodded.
He turned around and stood behind her. He bent down, with one hand on the table and the other hand pointing to the screen.
Look, you can write more details here.
The way he positioned himself, it looked as if he was holding Annabelle in his arms. The two of them were so close that Annabelle could even perceive the faint smell of tobacco from him. Her heart began to beat faster and faster.
Then I'll ask the production department to do it tomorrow, Annabelle turned to him and said stiffly.
But she did not expect to find that he was staring straight at her. Caught off guard, Annabelle blushed and quickly said, if there's no other problem, I'd like to go on with my task.
It's late now. You can continue tomorrow. I'll drive you home, Rupert offered.
He looked at his watch, it was already 10 o'clock in the evening.
Annabelle refused.
I don't like to postpone things till the next day.
Okay, Rupert nodded, showing no intention of leaving.
Are you going to supervise me here? Annabelle asked when she saw that he was still in the same old position. Seeing the embarrassed look on her face, Rupert looked at her with raised eyebrows.
If there's a problem, I can point it out in time, he said in a businesslike tone.
Annabelle was far from pleased with this. How could she work when he was so close to her? She quickly turned off the computer and said, forget it. I'll finish it tomorrow.
Rupert straightened up and looked at her with a faint smile.
Didn't you say that you didn't like to postpone a day's work?
I'm tired, Annabelle replied, quickly picking up her handbag and walking over to the door.
Rupert chuckled and walked after her.
I'll go back with you.
Annabelle didn't know what to say, so she just stayed quiet. They both rode the elevator and soon ended up at the underground garage.
But before Rupert could open the car door, a figure rushed up to him and grabbed his arm.
"Rupert, I've been waiting for you."
Annabel took a closer look and saw that it was Nina. Rupert pulled his arm out of her grasp in disgust.
"Nina, why are you still here?"
"I said I didn't want to see you again.
Get out of here."
"Rupert, please don't fire me."
Nina begged in tears, her eyes already red and puffy from so much crying.
"I can even work as a cleaner as long as you don't fire me. Please, just let me stay in Benton Group, so I can be close to—"
Before Nina could finish her statement, Rupert cut her off harshly.
"I asked you to get out. Don't you understand that? Benton Group will never accept people like you who work against the interests of the company for your own selfish reasons."
"Rupert, I'm sorry. I know I was wrong,"
Nina wailed, crying and begging profusely.
"I know I was wrong, but what I did it because I love you so much.
Rupert, I'm begging you, don't fire me. You don't know how much I love you. As long as I can stay with you, one will do anything you ask me to do."
Rupert frowned, his handsome face filled with disgust and contempt. What sort of problematic woman was this? But before he could call Finley and ask him to get the security to take Nina away, Annabel stepped forward and sneered.
"Rupert doesn't want to see you again. Why are you being so obstinate?
Annabel, what are you doing here?"
Nina asked, her eyes filled with jealousy and resentment. She had not noticed that Annabel was standing beside Rupert until now.
"Is there any problem with me being with my fiancé?"
Annabel scoffed, holding Rupert's arm to prove her point.
With a smile, Rupert stretched out his other hand and took Annabelle's other hand.
Annabel felt the warmth of his touch and she couldn't help but blush.
As far as she was concerned, all of this was just an act to drive Nina away.
So why was Rupert holding her hand?
Looking at the scene playing out in front of her, Nina became filled with extreme hatred.
"Annabel, it's you. You took Rupert away from me.
If it weren't for you, Rupert wouldn't have fired me. Without you, he would have fallen in love with me."
"Nina, quit dreaming. Rupert would never fall in love with you."
Annabel found the assertion very funny and childish.
What the hell was wrong with Nina?
Too meanwhile, Nina was still fuming at the sight of Rupert's tenderness for Annabel, which was in sharp contrast to his lack of feeling for her. This only gave rise to sadness, desperation, jealousy, and hate in her heart. Glaring fiercely at Annabel, Nina suddenly pulled out a knife from her pocket and stabbed at her with all her strength. Her face twisted and she shouted, "Annabel, go to die." Chapter 46. Rupert was injured. It happened so fast. None of them had expected Nina to have a knife. The razor-sharp blade of the knife was stabbed straight at Annabel with heavy force. Annabel was shocked, but she recovered quickly enough to raise her foot with the intention of kicking the knife, but Rupert stood in front of her.
"Step back,"
Rupert cautioned, holding Annabel with one hand and grabbing Nina's knife arm with the other. It never occurred to Annabel that Rupert would risk his life to protect her. She had already released her foot by the time he stood in front of her, so she ended up kicking him without meaning to. This caused Rupert to shift by instinct, making him miss catching Nina's hand. As a result, the sharp blade grazed the back of his hand.
"Shit."
Rupert cursed beneath his breath as both the knife and Annabel's kick hit at once. He had not planned for Annabel's sudden kick. It took him completely unawares.
"Rupert, are you okay?"
Annabel asked with concern when she saw a flash of pain on Rupert's face. She had planned to kick Nina with all her strength, not him. When he protected her by standing in front of her, it was too late for her to withdraw her leg. And in addition, the cut on the back of his hand was already causing blood to flow.
"I'm fine," Rupert answered, his face dark with displeasure.
He pressed the wound with his left hand to stop the blood flow, but it seemed he was still feeling the pain from Annabelle's kick.
"Rupert, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you," Nina apologized.
She was just as shocked as the two of them.
How could she stab Rupert of all people?
She was only trying to stab Annabel. Why did Rupert risk his life to protect Annabel?
As far as she was concerned, it was all because of the bitch, Annabelle. If it weren't for her, Rupert would not have been hurt.
Annabelle, you bitch. You let Rupert get hurt.
As Nina kept railing and cursing, a security guard who heard the noise arrived at the scene.
Mr. Benton, are you okay? He asked in concern.
She stabbed him. Hold her, Annabelle said, pointing at Nina.
I didn't.
Nina screamed and ran away, but the security guard went after her.
Annabelle didn't bother to pay any more attention to Nina and the guard. She turned to Rupert to check his wound.
It was a knife cut. You need to disinfect it and stop the bleeding as soon as possible, she pointed out.
There is a medical kit in the trunk of my car, Rupert said, pointing at his vehicle which was just nearby.
Let me help you to the car, Annabelle offered.
Looking at his legs, she couldn't help but felt guilty. Rupert wouldn't have been hurt if he hadn't tried to save her. But she did not need his help.
After helping him sit in the car, Annabelle went to the trunk to get the kit.
Annabelle took out alcohol and cotton swabs from the box and carefully cleaned Rupert's wound. He felt a sense of coolness from her touch.
Staring at the woman in front of him, Rupert didn't seem to feel any more pain. And she was so skilled at bandaging.
Where did she learn this?
Did she also have medical knowledge?
How many more surprises did Annabelle have in store for him?
After cleaning it, she gently blew on the wound with her mouth.
It may hurt. Please bear it, she warned.
Then she applied some iodine on it.
Rupert instantly felt the biting sensation, but he didn't flinch. He hardly noticed the biting sensation because his entire focus was on Annabelle. He felt as if the softest part of his heart was being caressed by a feather.
An indescribable emotion was growing in his heart. And he couldn't help reaching out his hand to take hers. But Annabelle thought he was being impatient, so she held his hand down and said, "Don't move. It'll be fine soon."
Feeling the warmth from her palm, Rupert became softer than ever, and he said in a low voice, "Thank you, Anna.
Anna."
Surprised, Annabelle raised her head to look at him. It was the first time that Rupert had called her Anna. Thought it was just an ordinary pet name, it sounded so different.
"Anna, haven't we met before?" Rupert asked with a smile and moved closer to her.
This girl in front of him was so kind.
For some reason, he always felt that she was like Candy, the girl in his memory.
By now, the two of them were so close that his lips could touch her forehead if he were to move forward just a bit.
When he called her Anna, it sounded like he was calling out to his beloved.
Annabelle was confused and looked at Rupert.
Why did he always ask her strange questions? How could they have met each other before?
Regardless, Annabelle rubbed her temples and tried to recall the past. She had no known memory of someone like Rupert.
The first time she saw him was less than a month ago.
They met at his house.
Annabelle was sure that before then, there was no prior meeting between them.
No.
Annabelle shook her head in denial.
I lived in the countryside before. How could we have met?
I see.
Rupert nodded thoughtfully, a dash of disappointment flashing through his eyes.
Well, don't think too much. I haven't finished bandaging your wound yet.
Annabelle lowered her head and continued to bandage his wound.
Few minutes later, the bandage was finally done and Annabelle breathed a sigh of relief.
Though the wound on Rupert's hand bled, it was just a relatively slight cut. He needed to go to the hospital to have it disinfected and bandaged. He would be fine after taking some anti-inflammatory drugs. But the effect of her kick on his leg seemed to be more serious.
As she packed up the medicine box, Annabelle said, "I just gave you the simplest first aid treatment. You have to go to the hospital to get properly examined. I'll take you there."
"Can you drive?"
Rupert asked.
"Yes," Annabelle nodded.
Occupying the driver's seat, Annabelle skillfully stepped on the accelerator and drove straight for the hospital. Sitting beside her in the front passenger seat, Rupert rubbed the spot where she kicked him.
"Why did you kick me? Did you want to murder your fiancé?"
"It wasn't deliberate," Annabelle said with a frown.
"I was going to kick Nina. I didn't know you would suddenly come between us. If it weren't for you, one would have subdued her."
Really?
Rupert asked, his eyebrows raised in surprise. He didn't even see the kick coming. And it was hard and accurate, unlike what an ordinary girl could do. Was Annabelle good at fighting? Chapter 47 Was candy gone? Realizing that her tongue slipped, Annabelle cleared her throat and explained, I took up Taekwondo in school.
Taekwondo?
Rupert chuckled and said nothing more. Soon, they arrived at the hospital, where a doctor gave Rupert a thorough examination. Just as Annabelle expected, the cut on Rupert's hand wasn't serious. As for his leg, he suffered severe bruising, but no bones were broken. He would be fine after resting for a few days. Annabelle heaved a sigh of relief. You're going to be okay. Rupert looked at her and asked, Why? Do you care about me? What's wrong with caring about you? After all, you got hurt trying to save me. Annabelle pursed her lips. She was grateful to him although his help was unnecessary. Apply this ointment 3 times a day and take these pills, one in the morning and one in the evening. The doctor gave Rupert a detailed prescription. Thanks. Annabelle carefully took note. It was already early morning by the time they came out of the hospital. As soon as they got in the car, Rupert suddenly said, Go to Water Moon Community.
Huh?
Aren't we going home? Annabelle asked in confusion. It's so late, Rupert said, smiling faintly. The truth was that he didn't want his mother to find out that he was injured, let alone that he got injured saving Annabelle. On the one hand, he didn't want Erica to take out her anger on Annabelle. On the other hand, whenever Annabelle was in the Benton family's home, she'd hide in the guest room. Rupert never got to spend time with her alone. And now, he suddenly wanted to be alone with her. Maybe his grandfather was right, he should try to get to know her. The streets at night were very quiet. Outside the car, colorful neon city lights illuminated Annabelle's pretty face through the window, making her look almost magical. With his eyes half closed, Rupert leaned back in his seat and watched her. He never took his eyes off the girl as she focused on driving. Suddenly, the silence was broken by Rupert. Annabelle, Nina was fired. What do you think about that?
Huh?
Annabelle was a little confused at first. After it sank in, she shrugged and said, She deserved it. She tried to hurt you. You would have been an idiot if you forgave her. What Annabelle said was totally different from what Rupert wanted to hear. He sat up and looked at her, saying slowly, I mean, I'm going to promote you. You'll be the next director of the secretary department. Although Annabelle had only been in the company for a few weeks, he knew that she could take the responsibility. Rupert wanted to give Annabelle a chance. Unexpectedly, Annabelle shook her head resolutely. No, thanks. Rupert was stunned. Why not? It was known to all that everyone wanted the position of director in Benton Group. But Annabelle refused his offer without so much as batting an eyelash. Annabelle pursed her lips disapprovingly. I'm doing it for your sake. I'll be breaking off the engagement to you in 2 months, then I'll leave and you'll have to select a new director. You have to think about the future. Where are you going? Rupert's expression darkened. Anywhere but here. I don't want to stay in your home, Annabelle answered casually. By then, the world would be her oyster. Scowling, Rupert didn't say anything more on the subject. He felt very unhappy, and it showed. Did he have no position in her heart at all? Half an hour later, they reached Water Moon Community. It was a luxury residential area located in the center of Daobug. It was owned by Benton Group, and it just so happened to be very close to the Benton Group building. Whenever Rupert worked late, he would come here to rest. Here we are, Annabelle announced. However, Rupert didn't reply. Annabelle turned to look at Rupert, only to find that the latter had fallen asleep. She tapped his shoulder and said loudly, Rupert, we're here. Time to wake up. Rupert frowned deeply in his sleep. In his dream, he seemed to have returned to that small, dark room again.
Several gangsters had beaten him to a pulp. He was exhausted and felt that he could no longer hold on. Candy shook his hand and said anxiously, "Wake up. They're gone. Let's get out of here while we still can." Half asleep and groggy, Rupert heard the anxious voice once more. "Rupert, wake up. Candy." Candy was calling him. The next moment, he grabbed Candy's hand and the two ran wildly into the woods. "Hurry up. They're right behind us." Soon, they encountered a cliff. In the distance, they could hear the shouts of the gangsters chasing after them. "I can't run anymore," Candy said. Rupert could do nothing but watch as Candy fell into the abyss. "Candy, no." All of a sudden, Rupert grabbed Annabelle's hand. "Candy, don't leave me." "Rupert? What's going on with you?" Stunned, Annabelle looked at Rupert, wide-eyed. What on earth was wrong with him? It seemed Candy left him. But why? Did she not like Rupert? Did she reject him? Such a thing seemed impossible. With Rupert's handsome face and high status, he made for the perfect husband. It was impossible for a girl to turn a blind eye to his charm. But judging from the way Rupert cried out just now, he seemed to love this Candy deeply. So why? Why would Candy leave him? Was Candy gone? That was probably why Rupert was so obsessed with her. The more Annabelle thought about it, the more she believed in her theory, so she didn't ask him any questions. Cold sweat trickled down his forehead. Rupert reached up to wipe it off. The next second, he regained his cold and alienating look and said, "Nothing. Just a bad dream. Anyway, we're here already." As she spoke, Annabelle opened the door for him. Rupert pointed at his injured leg and smiled meaningfully. "You have to help me." Annabelle looked at him indignantly. "You're the one who kicked me, remember?" Rupert said matter-of-factly. "Fine." Annabelle gritted her teeth and begrudgingly helped him out of the car. With Rupert's arm around her shoulder, Annabelle helped him walk to the elevator. The two were so close to each other that Annabelle could feel Rupert's hot breath on her neck. And the man was heavy. Soon, she was out of breath. When they finally arrived at the door to his apartment, she found that it was locked. Raising her head to look at Rupert, Annabelle asked breathlessly, "Where's the key?" "In my pocket." "Okay. Give it to me." Annabelle was tired of supporting him, and it wasn't like she was going to reach into his pocket to get the key for him. Rupert held up his injured right hand and glanced at Annabelle with a faint smile. "I got injured saving you. You'll have to get the key from my pocket." Jesus Christ. Was he making things hard for her on purpose? Chapter 48 Feed Me. Gritting her teeth, Annabelle did her best to support Rupert with one hand while the other reached into his pocket. Annabelle's hand rummaged through the pocket. Soon, her fingers brushed against something. Rupert stiffened. "What are you looking for? The key or something else?" "Sorry." When Annabelle realized what she had touched just now, her face turned as red as a tomato. She apologized in a hurry and started searching for the key in the opposite direction. What was going on today? Was the universe determined to give her a hard time? Even the key decided to hide from her. She reached into the deepest part of the pocket, but she still couldn't find the damn key. Annabelle fumbled in Rupert's pocket anxiously, but to no avail. Through the cloth, Rupert could feel Annabelle's hand brushing against his thigh. Her touch sent waves of electricity through him, which felt both excruciating and intoxicating. "Rupert, where's your key?" "There's no key here." After a while, Annabelle was so tired that she broke into a sweat. Still, Rupert was leaning on her. He unhurriedly patted his pocket with his uninjured hand and frowned. It seemed that the key wasn't there. After a while, his expression darkened. "I just remembered, it's in the other pocket." "What the—" Annabelle cursed. Rupert shrugged and just pointed to the pocket on his right. Annabelle was so exasperated. This scheming man must have done it on purpose.
She just kicked him. How could he be so mean? Besides, she didn't mean to hurt him. He was the one who jumped in front of her to block the knife. Annabelle grumbled to herself as she fumbled to unlock the door. Finally, the door opened, and she used the last of her strength to drag Rupert to the couch. Stay there first. Just as she was about to stand up, her legs buckled from underneath her. Ah! With a scream, Annabelle fell into Rupert's arms. Can't you wait before you start throwing yourself at me? We just got here. Rupert teased her. Annabelle's ears immediately turned red. She glared at him and spat, "It's all because you practically made me carry you all the way here." Rupert unhurriedly leaned back on the sofa and shrugged. "You kicked me." Annabelle was speechless. She never meant to kick him. "Time for your medicine." At a loss, Annabelle decided to change the topic. She stood up and fetched the medicine the doctor had prescribed and put it in front of Rupert. "One pill a night." Before she could finish her sentence, her stomach began to growl. Rupert chuckled. "Hungry?" Annabelle was a little embarrassed. She had been busy all day and forgot to eat dinner. Indeed, she was famished. "I'm hungry, too. Let's order some takeout." As Rupert spoke, he took out his phone. "What do you want to eat? Is there anything in the fridge? I can cook. My cooking is not that bad." Truth be told, Annabelle didn't like takeout. She always felt that it was too unhealthy. "You can cook?" Rupert's eyebrows shot up in surprise. Annabelle smiled. "Of course. But I seldom cook. You're so lucky today. Consider it a reward for saving my life. One usually has to marry the other person for saving their life." Rupert suddenly sat up straight. His usually indifferent eyes flashed meaningfully as he stared at the woman in front of him. "Mary." Annabelle rolled her eyes at him, stood up, and went to the kitchen. Rupert hired a housekeeper for this apartment. Sometimes, he would ask her to prepare dinner for him, so the housekeeper made it a habit to keep the fridge fully stocked in case of need. Annabelle opened the fridge and found that it had a lot of fruits, vegetables, and frozen goods. It was very late now, so she decided to cook something simple. Spaghetti sounded perfect. She chose the ingredients one by one, washed them, and began to cook. After taking his medicine, Rupert craned his neck to look inside the kitchen. From his angle, he could only see Annabelle's back. She had put on an apron and was busy in the kitchen, like a good wife who was preparing dinner for her husband. Rupert's expression softened. He couldn't help but stand up and walk to the kitchen. Bruce's words suddenly echoed in his mind. "Anna's a good girl. As long as you spend more time with her, you'll see that for yourself. Rupert, you won't want to miss her." Maybe he should try to get to know Annabelle more. Just as Annabelle was about to put all the ingredients into the pot, Rupert's magnetic voice interrupted her. "Do you need help?" When Annabelle turned around, she saw Rupert leaning against the doorframe with his hands in his trouser pockets. His handsome face looked unusually gentle at the moment, there was a faint smile tugging at the corner of his sexy lips, and his charming eyes were staring right at her. His eyes were like two whirlpools, drowning anyone who dared to look straight into them. Being stared at by Rupert like this, Annabelle suddenly felt a little shy. She quickly averted her gaze and looked at his leg. Frowning, she asked, "I thought you couldn't walk." Rupert said, "You're right. I need you to help me to the dining room." "Go by yourself. Can't you see I'm busy?" Annabelle pushed him out of the kitchen and slammed the door behind her. Despite being kicked out, Rupert couldn't help but smile. By the time Annabelle was done cooking, Rupert was already waiting for her at the table. "Here you go." Annabelle put a plate of spaghetti in front of Rupert. "It's late, and know you're hungry, so I just cooked some spaghetti." Rupert looked down at the food in front of him. His eyes widened. The spaghetti glistened invitingly. The food both looked good and smelled good. He raised his head to look at the woman who prepared the food, but she was already busy wolfing down her spaghetti. Seeing this, he chuckled to himself softly. His fiancée was something else.
Other women like Heather and Nina always pretended to have a small appetite in front of him. But he wasn't interested in women like them at all. Annabelle, on the other hand, didn't give a damn and ate her food as though she was the only person in the room. After slurping the last of her spaghetti, Annabelle raised her head, only to find Rupert staring straight at her. More importantly, the spaghetti in front of him looked untouched. "Why aren't you eating?" Annabelle asked with a frown. "Don't you like it?" Without saying a word, Rupert lifted his injured hand meaningfully. "You can just use your other hand." Annabelle was shocked by his brazenness. Rupert pursed his lips. "But it's my left hand. I'm not used to eating with my left hand." "So you're saying you don't want to eat?"
"I'm not."
Rupert stopped Annabelle from taking his spaghetti away.
"Feed me."
Chapter 49 Should I help you take your shower? Annabelle was rendered speechless. "Didn't you say that you would repay me for saving your life?" Rupert asked, his expression cold and serious. It was just a joke, but that did not occur to Annabelle since his expression was so serious. Taking a look at Rupert's wound, she said helplessly, "Okay." After all, Rupert had stopped the knife from getting to her. Seeing how unwilling she seemed, Rupert couldn't help but feel disappointed. He took the cutlery from Annabelle and said with a smile, "I'm just kidding. I can do it myself." Annabelle breathed a sigh of relief. But then, when did Rupert start joking? He was always cold and serious. Meanwhile, Rupert was not used to eating with his left hand, so it took some time and effort for him to finish his meal. When he was done, he wiped the corner of his mouth with a napkin. "It tastes good," he praised.
"I'm glad you like it," Annabelle said and stood up to clean the table.
"Put it aside. Someone will clean it up tomorrow," Rupert said with a sigh and started rubbing his temples.
"I'm so tired. Let me help you to your room so you can have some rest,"
Annabelle offered. She also felt tired and wanted to go to bed early. After all, she had a lot of work to do the next day, so she needed to wake up early and refreshed.
"Okay," Rupert agreed.
It took Annabelle some serious effort to help get Rupert to his room. She was going to help him sit on the bed when he suddenly stopped.
"I want to take a shower first," he told her.
With her eyelashes trembling, Annabelle blurted, "Do you also want me to help you shower?" Seeing her on the alert, Rupert loosened his tie with his left hand and a playful smile slowly appeared on his face.
"Run me a bath."
Annabelle breathed in relief and went to go fill the bathtub with water. She made sure the temperature was right for Rupert before coming back to tell him that it was ready. Annabelle sat and listened to the sound of running water coming from the bathroom. She wanted to wait for Rupert to finish his shower so she could find out which room she would sleep in. But she was so tired that she soon fell asleep right there on the sofa. After his shower, Rupert came out of the bathroom and saw that Annabelle was sleeping on the sofa. Her steady breathing echoed peacefully in the quiet room. Rupert used the opportunity to run his eyes all over her. Her skin was smooth and delicate, and her eyes looked an image of perfection. The light from the chandelier shone on her long eyelashes, casting shadows on her cheeks. With a gentle smile, Rupert bent over and lifted her up. Carefully, he laid her on the bed and tucked her in. Then he lay down right beside her.
"Teddy, let me hug you,"
Annabelle murmured in her sleep, hugging Rupert and thinking that she was holding a teddy bear. Rupert's body stiffened. This feeling was so familiar. He stretched out his hand and caressed Annabelle's hair.
"Candy, is it really not you?"
The next day, the bright rays of the sun shone through the curtains and landed on the bed. Annabelle opened her eyes and sat up in a daze. The first thing she saw was a luxurious crystal lamp. Where on earth was she? She looked around and quickly discovered that she was in Rupert's bed.
What happened?
Annabelle rubbed her temples and gradually began to recall what happened the previous night. She remembered Rupert came between her and the knife. She also remembered she sent him back home, they had dinner and he went to take a shower.
And then?
What happened?
Why couldn't she remember anything?
Why the hell was she in Rupert's bed? It was just the two of them in the apartment. She knew she had not gone to his bed by herself. Did Rupert put her in his bed? Annabel looked down and checked her clothes. Fortunately, she was fully dressed. Just then, Rupert pushed open the door and walked in. Seeing Annabel awake and sitting on the bed, he said with a faint smile, "You're awake. Why am I here?" Annabel demanded, ignoring his question. Rupert looked at her and shrugged. "It's easy to catch cold sleeping alone on the sofa. So?" Rupert put her in his bed. Annabel became a little embarrassed. "There is breakfast in the dining room. You can go and have it. I'm working from home today and I've granted you leave. If you need anything, come to my study," Rupert said and went to his study. Annabel looked up at the time. It was almost 10 o'clock. Luckily, Rupert had granted her leave. She decided to go to work after breakfast. Annabel got off the bed and made her way to the dining room. To her surprise, she found quite a rich breakfast on the dining table. So, she sat down and began to eat happily. Just then, the doorbell rang. Annabel frowned and wondered who would come at this time. When she got up and went to open the door, she saw a tall and beautiful young girl. It was Kathy. Kathy was wearing a white dress and holding a mug with a bright smile. But at the sight of Annabel, the smile vanished from her face. "Annabel, why are you here?" she asked in displeasure. "What do you mean? Can't I stay at my fiancé's place?" Annabel retorted. "And you, why did you come here so early in the morning? Where is my cousin?" Kathy asked, looking around the living room. The previous night, Rupert had called home and told them that he would rest at Water Moon Community. Hearing this, Kathy felt very disappointed. It meant she wouldn't be able to see him. When morning came, she asked Tracy about it and she found that even Annabel didn't come back the previous night either. Kathy became alarmed. She cooked breakfast early in the morning and went off to Benton Group, intending to use bringing Rupert breakfast as an excuse to see him. But Finley informed her that Rupert had asked for a leave. To her surprise, Annabel didn't come to work either. Kathy immediately rushed over to Water Moon Community, and as she feared, she saw Annabel. This meant that, throughout the night, Annabel had stayed with Rupert. Ignoring Kathy, Annabel returned to the dining room and continued with her breakfast elegantly. Kathy decided to let herself in and walk towards the dining room on her high heels. There was breakfast on the table. At a single glance, Kathy could see that it was cooked by Rupert himself. In the past, only when Bruce was sick would Rupert cook breakfast just to cheer him up. But now, he was cooking breakfast for Annabel. Too, Kathy became very jealous. Seeing that Annabel was still ignoring her, she raised her voice and said, "Annabel, I'm asking you, where is my cousin?" Annabel didn't say anything until after finishing her breakfast. Then she wiped her mouth and stood up. "Excuse me, please," she said, asking Kathy to get out of her way. "Annabel, who do you think you are?" Kathy fumed, refusing to let Annabel pass. Jealousy and contempt were obvious in her eyes as she shouted, "You're just a bumpkin from the countryside. You don't deserve my cousin at all." Recalling the time she caught Kathy kissing Rupert while he slept, Annabel asked sarcastically, "If I don't deserve him, then who does?" "You." "Annabel, don't talk nonsense," Kathy shouted. Just then, out of the corner of her eye, she saw a tall figure walking toward the dining room. Suddenly, she screamed and fell to the floor. "Annabel, why did you push me?" Chapter 50. Rupert trusted Annabel. The mug in Kathy's hand fell to the floor, and the breakfast she brought was overturned and scattered all over the floor. Annabel was puzzled. When did she push Kathy? Rather, it was Kathy herself who fell on her own. "What's the matter?" Rupert asked when he heard the noise. As he came up to the dining room, Kathy quickly put up an act for his benefit. Her face turned pale and tears streamed down her cheeks. "Rupert, Annabel pushed me so hard.
It was clearly a deliberate effort to make Annabelle look bad.
When did I push you?
Annabelle sneered. Still looking at Rupert with her pitiful eyes, Kathy tried desperately to play the victim.
Please don't blame her. You know, your mom asked me to move Annabelle's things to the guest room back then. It's only natural for her to still be angry with me.
Kathy changed her strategy. She suddenly became the understanding victim.
Annabelle felt sick to her stomach as she watched Kathy spew all these lies against her.
With a smile, she said sarcastically, "Save it. Rupert won't believe what you said."
Kathy tried her best to maintain her pitiful expression even though she was mad at Annabelle deep in her heart.
"Annabelle, I know you hate me, but what can I do?
I can't refuse to do what Auntie asks me to do. I didn't want to do it, but I had no choice. You can be angry with me, beat me, scold me, and push me as many times as you want. But the breakfast was made by Auntie for Rupert. Now, it's on the floor.
Kathy, you're so good at acting. Why don't you sign up to be an actress?
The entertainment industry owes you an Oscar.
Annabelle mocked, looking at her with a cold expression.
Annabelle, what are you talking about?
Kathy grumbled, looking as if she had been deeply wronged. She turned to Rupert.
This is the breakfast your mom made for you. She was afraid that you would be too tired after spending so much time at work yesterday, so she asked me to bring it to you. Now it's all been wasted because of Annabelle.
But before Kathy could finish statement, Rupert interrupted her impatiently,
"Come on, Kathy. Do you think I'm blind?
What?"
Kathy did not expect such a response.
"Look, I saw what happened just now. Annabelle didn't touch you at all," Rupert said with a frown. He had not seen anything.
But his intuition told him that Annabelle was not that kind of person.
Kathy, on the other hand, had learned from her mother how to exploit situations and manipulate people.
"Rupert, it's not like that."
Kathy tried to defend herself. She didn't expect Rupert to debunk her story.
From that angle, he shouldn't have seen what actually happened.
"Don't waste your time with this kind of thing. Pay more attention to your studies, okay?"
Rupert advised her.
Kathy stared at him in shock and disbelief.
Annabelle, on the other hand, seemed very satisfied with Rupert's response and she gave him a thumbs up.
"Well, since the truth is out, I think I'll go to work now."
With that, she turned around and walked out.
Watching Annabelle's retreating figure, Kathy became filled with discontent and disgust.
After Annabelle had gone out of sight, she turned to Rupert.
"You know your mom doesn't like her. Why?
Grandpa likes her," Rupert cut her off, fixing her with a cold glance.
"I hope this will be the last time you ever give her trouble."
"Understood.
Just because Grandpa likes her?"
Kathy scoffed.
"What about you, Rupert? Do you like her?"
"It's none of your business," Rupert said coldly.
His aloof attitude made Kathy feel sad.
She hoped that Rupert didn't like Annabelle and that it was just because of his grandfather that he accepted Annabelle as his fiancée.
But the way he looked at Annabelle just now was so full of affection.
Kathy had never seen Rupert look at anyone like that before.
"Anything else?"
Rupert asked all of a sudden, knocking her out of her reverie.
When Kathy came back to reality, her eyes fell on the bandage on his right hand and she asked in concern,
"Rupert, what's wrong with your hand?"
"Nothing. I just got hurt a little," Rupert said expressionlessly.
"Hurt? How could you get hurt? Is it serious?"
Kathy asked, sounding very nervous and worried.
How could he have gotten hurt?
No wonder he didn't go to work.
What could be the reason he got hurt?
Did it have anything to do with Annabelle?
No, make sure you don't tell my mom,
Rupert warned in a low voice.
I won't, Kathy promised.
Why didn't Annabelle stay and take care of you?
Is there anything more important to her than you are?
She has something to deal with at the company, Rupert said with a frown.
Rupert, why don't you let me stay and take care of you?
Kathy asked expectantly.
No, I have something else to do. You can leave now.
After delivering this instruction,
Rupert turned around and went back to the study, leaving Kathy standing there alone. The breakfast she had made for him was still scattered on the floor. All of a sudden, her enthusiasm was completely extinguished. As far as she was concerned, it was all Annabelle's fault. She would have to find a way to drive Annabelle away. It was already 10:30 when Annabelle arrived at the company. She turned on her computer and continued to work on the unfinished form she had been working on the previous night. While she was concentrating on her work, her phone suddenly rang. She looked down and found that it was a call from Brett. Annabelle picked it up immediately. "Hello, Mr. McCoy. This is Annabelle."
"Hello, Annabelle."
Brett's voice hailed enthusiastically from the other end of the line. "When will the Ice and Fire series be officially launched? We want to know the plans for mass production. When will you have time for a discussion?" "No problem. We can make an appointment this afternoon." Running her eye over her computer screen, Annabelle was sure that she could finish working on the document and come up with a plan by afternoon.
"Okay, see you this afternoon then," Brett said and hung up.
The drawings made by Annabelle were so amazing that Brett couldn't wait to launch the product into the market as soon as possible. He believed it would achieve unprecedented sales. And Annabelle was very interesting as far as he was concerned. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Brett arrived at Benton Group in the company of his assistant. Annabelle had prepared everything and she went out to greet him with a smile.
"Mr. McCoy, I've prepared the plan for the mass production of the Ice and Fire series. Let's go to the conference room to talk."
"Okay." They arrived at the conference room and sat down. But as Annabelle was about to turn on the computer, they heard the sound of footsteps outside. Suddenly, the door of the conference room was pushed open. Frowning, Annabelle wondered who was so impolite to make such a rude entry without even knocking.